This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody's Tuesday going? A little bit of rain. A little bit of rain in the area. Feeling more like spring.
Very, very smarchy.
Yeah. We're okay with that. It's fine. Spring training is on television. That gives me weird feelings when baseball comes back because I'm never ready for it. I'm never ready for baseball to be on TV all the time. But it's very soothing to me because I always feel like, all right, well, now it's going to be light out longer. That's what baseball means. Baseball on my TV tells me light will last longer now. And we have spring forward on Sunday. Spring forward Sunday.
This weekend?
It's this weekend. Can anybody answer this?
Yes,
either here or on the text line. What happened to the not having time changes anymore?
I think that
I think
the plan is to spring forward this spring and then stop.
I don't believe it. I feel like we've been saying this for a while.
Since about 1998?
Yeah, I feel like we've been saying this for a very long time that it's got like we're done with the spring forward fall back thing. But I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's too simple. That's the problem.
No. It's actually not a great idea to do.
Go on.
Because
I have my thoughts too.
You'll have some more sunshine, or you'll have more daylight in the winter, but like the sun won't come up until like 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that's my thing. I don't want to be taking my kid out to the bus stop when it's still dark.
And then I think it means our days won't last as long in the summer. We won't have as much sunshine later in the summer.
Well,
so
the summertime will be the same like it was every year when we do daylight savings time. But it'll be the same as it always was. Same as it ever was.
But I don't think
where it's going to affect us is in the wintertime.
I don't want wintertime sun coming up at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, because it's also going to be I guess in the afternoons, you're technically the clock will be an hour later. So instead of getting dark at 4:30, it'll be 5:30.
Here's a question for everybody out there. Is it really that bad of an inconvenience to you?
I feel like the whole conversation is kind of overblown. Like it's not a big deal.
It's only bad for like 3 days.
3 days?
Yeah.
1 hour affects you for 3 days?
It's a sleep cycle, buddy. Come on now.
You don't have one.
Come on.
Says the guy who stays up till 2-3 o'clock every night. Anyway.
Yeah. So if I'm up till 2 o'clock in the morning and now you're taking another hour away from me, yeah, it takes me a little while. It's tough.
Body clock is affected a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, it affects you on that Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's the only time.
Well, and unless, you know, if you're a Monday through Friday type worker person, it doesn't really do that much to you, I don't feel like. But, you know, like I remember back in the days when I was working in restaurants and bars and such. And all of a sudden, yeah, that spring forward Sunday morning when I had to go open the bar at 10 o'clock, that came a lot faster.
It does. Now, that one day, yeah. It gets you for that one day. And then you're going to be okay. Like, you'll be fine.
No, I was scarred for life.
The one thing that is a nuisance, and we need to do, like, how are we not here? It's the year 2025. How do our appliances not automatically update the time? You know? That's the only thing.
If you've got the always on or Internet of Things, they will. But if they're just regular...
But it's
old plug-in appliances.
Yeah, or like your car. My car doesn't automatically update the clock. I
have to go to the settings and hit check the little box if it's daylight savings or not.
But it's only like I have to. But even that, I can't complain about that anymore because I just go to clock and then forward or back an hour. Clock.
I will say they have made changing the car clock a very simple task now. It used to require an advanced science degree.
It really did. Like, you'd have to hold like two buttons and then be pushing with the other one.
Yeah,
like,
it would only go one way, so if you missed it.
And then you went too far, you're like, damn it, now I gotta go all the way around again.
23 times.
Yeah, see? So I feel like we're still just arguing like it's 1993.
Mm.
And we really shouldn't, because our phones automatically update.
Mm-hmm.
That's that right there. We're... Easy street.
Yeah.
We're in.
Literally in my car, it's like three button presses.
But the other inconvenience I have is I have to go and change on our oven and our microwave the time. Other than that, we're fine. We're fine.
My main gripe on the oven and microwave clocks, somehow one of them moves at a different pace.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Is a minute not a minute?
Yeah.
For crying out loud?
I have that same problem with our oven. Our oven and our microwave are stacked on top of each other. And the oven, like every 2 or 3 months, it's like 2 minutes ahead.
Yeah.
And I'm going, did this happen?
I'm aggro when I go to change those clocks too, because I pull out my phone and I go to real time and watch that sucker count down to the second. And then that's when I hit, you know, the clock button to set it. And then I'll wait another full minute to change the microwave after the oven.
I just realized I don't have a clock on my microwave, and I appreciate that. I just have the clock on the oven.
A microwave? What do you have?
It doesn't have a live clock.
Is it a dial?
No, it's a regular microwave.
Are you from 1983?
It just doesn't have a clock on it.
Of course it does.
I know it doesn't. When it's not on, it's blank.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking about that. I don't actually have anything.
I'm not sure that means that it doesn't have a clock function.
Well,
just have to set it.
Well, that's fine.
That's fine. Oh, I love it.
I would be okay with not having one.
I don't need four clocks in my kitchen.
It's nice to have one.
Yeah. No, I have one.
It's nice to have
one. The stovetop has one.
It's nice to have one. Other than that, I'm good without them. Yeah.
My wife, when we first moved in the house, was hanging quite a few clocks, and I'm like, do we need this many clocks?
Yeah.
We have phones.
Clocks are more of
decorative.
A art piece. Yeah. They're an art piece. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I am neither artsy nor decorative.
Speaking of...
Get out.
Speaking of art, I wanted to run this by the people. I saw this on social media today. There's an artist who goes by the name Pie Girl, who makes hundreds of dollars for chaining men up and smashing them in the face with pies. We're calling that art now? That's art? That used to be like a kink.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's a fetish.
That's a fetish.
Yeah, that's not art. That's a fetish.
But she is claiming, no, I'm an artist. Don't put me in the sex industry. This is not.
How about a performance artist? Is that fair?
No, because that's dumb too.
Well, yeah.
We have gone.
But I feel like that's closer.
Like art. What's it called? Art. What's that one down in Miami? Art. Oh, something. Boom. Where they put up. They have like all the art installations, and somebody duct taped a banana to the wall as a joke, and people were like, oh, look at that. That's beautiful. And it was a joke.
It sold for millions, though, didn't it?
I think it did.
Yeah.
It did.
Because
they're
all
dumb. No, it's not just that. It's that world is so pretentious.
Sure is.
It's like the whole idea of high-end art is so absolutely crazy to me. I think I mentioned before. My
high-end art and fashion.
My mother-in-law has got an art degree, I want to say, from the University of Chicago. That's a big art school out there. And she has pieces that are, I mean, not like millions of dollars, but quite expensive. And I've been to a couple of the shows, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, I could never do something like that. But I hear the people that are around me talking about it, and there's not a bridge tall enough for me to jump off of.
Yeah.
And if like, oh God, really? That's what you're thinking, huh? Okay. Cool. Like that stuff to me, look, art is in the eye of the beholder and all that kind of stuff, but like, well, I wonder what, you know, they were thinking in this moment. I bet you it really pulls at the visual.
No, it doesn't.
And it's like, no, dude. She thought it looked cool. I genuinely wish we could go back in time and talk to, like, you know, the most important artists over like the last like 400 years and just be like, hey man, what were you thinking? He's like, I found these mushrooms and I got really high and that's how we came up with cubism.
Monet, what were you doing? I licked a toad.
Yeah.
That's how we got there.
Yeah. One of them had,
cool.
One of them had like a severe case of syphilis and took a lot of drugs. So there's Monet and Monet.
Some drugs.
And one of them didn't have an ear.
That is, oh boy.
Van Gogh?
Van Gogh.
Van Gogh, yeah. See, there you go.
Because he got dumped? Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. So, like, again, I would imagine that there's probably some more unstable things in their lives happening than, like, here's the pain I'm going to paint using these certain colors.
Yeah. You should have tried going to school in Ashland, because...
Oh, yeah, no.
You want to talk about some of those conversations?
I'm out.
Sometimes you'd be in a mood and you'd just jump in. You'd be like, yep, I'm here.
This quantifies exactly what I'm feeling in the fan text line. I truly get what the artist is feeling as it were strung out on heroin, feeling absolutely nothing. Ding! That's it.
That's it.
I am a huge proponent of, like, my favorite singers and musicians, almost all dead. And the best music they ever made was when they were on all of the drugs, feeling all of the pain.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all the Beatles' good stuff was the later days when they were all hopped up on
Look, perfect case
goofballs.
In point, Metallica right now. Metallica right now is not good. Metallica, when they were doing a lot of drugs and a lot of alcohol, really good.
Okay. All right.
Just saying, of course, is also how they lost one of their guitarists or drummer or something.
Yeah, listen, this happens, man.
The one that I don't get is when they're like, oh, you just don't understand their genius. It's like, yeah, I do. They're a dumbass. And that's what that genius is.
Yeah, fast forward and it actually shows the guy and he's sitting there with his eyes bulging out of his skull, staring into the sun. You're just like, no, man, that's a lot of meth.
No, that dude's licking his teeth a lot.
Not a lot of genius there.
Yeah. Pie artist. Yeah, if we have some texters that are intrigued, just go ahead and Google like a pie artist and you can pay a couple $100 and get smashed with a pie in the name of art and whatever else you're looking for in that experience.
Or I could just go down to the Center of Quality Foods and buy one myself and hand it to my wife and say,
careful,
smash me in the face.
Careful with that.
It's called OnlyFans. Yeah. That's what you can do at home, my friend.
Yeah.
Make hundreds. All right. Well, we're solving the world's problems. Maybe we should put a poll up. Do we overreact to daylight savings? Because I feel like we are. We are overreacting to daylight savings. Let's just continue to save the daylight.
That's the most Portland thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Save the daylight.
You gotta save the daylight, bro.
My clocks won't
and
change.
And the whales.
And the rainforest.
Yes.
We have stopped saving the rainforest, and that is a problem.
Because we keep finding like new temples of doom hidden in the foliage in the Amazon.
Yeah, just leave it alone.
Cool. We need more Indiana Jones.
Leave the ghosts alone. It's like, we're fine.
There's another 500-foot-tall pyramid in there. How did that get there?
Don't worry about that.
I guess I should amend that. We need more Indiana Jones movies that don't involve Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, what'd he do?
He ruined that one Indiana Jones movie.
Speaking of drugs.
Yeah. Did you know that guy literally ripped his tooth out for that movie Fury? Apparently Shia's like a full-on method actor.
Yeah, I can see that.
He ripped a tooth out because it said it made him look a certain way. He didn't take a shower for 8 months. because of to try to get into the
right. Yeah, that's normal.
And I'm sure those guys that were in the tank with him were just thrilled about that. He smelled like a Frenchman.
Well,
yes, I took shots at you, Frank. You stink. I've been on your buses and trains. You take a shower and use deodorant.
Maybe there's somebody who's into it, like the pie people.
Oh, no, there's people into all kinds of weird stuff.
There's people into that.
Well, there was a reason why the Looney Tunes named that skunk Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah.
If you want, if you have not seen it, the movie Peanut Butter Falcon, good movie. Mm-hmm. Shia LaBeouf is in it. The Peanut Butter Falcon, that's a good movie. That's a good movie.
Peanut Butter Falcon, again, sounds like something you would pay for.
Yeah, it's a movie that you would pay for to go and watch in a movie theater.
Like a Pasadena mudslide?
Yeah.
It's you gotta ask. You can't afford it.
It's about a young man with Down syndrome. I'm reading just the plot from Wikipedia. And he escapes from a state-run care facility with the help of his elderly roommate to train as a professional wrestler under the tutelage of his hero, Saltwater Redneck. Meanwhile, Tyler, a man fired for bringing illegal crab catches, burns the gear of his rivals, Duncan and Ratboy, and flees himself. So they're basically on the run together. And it's
Shia LaBeouf and John Bernthal. Like,
it's a good movie.
Got to be at least halfway
decent. Yeah, Peanut Butter Falcon.
It's
good.
95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's a good. It's a really good.
Okay.
It's a good flick.
Okay.
I recommend.
$6.2 million budget. So it's an art house film. Okay. Okay.
You can really see their genius.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get this show on the road, shall we? The Portland Trail Blazers win. And another impressive performance by the Young Bucks, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Portland Trail Blazers pick up another victory last night on the road, 119-102 over the Philadelphia 76ers. That team is in some trouble. Tyrese Maxey going down last night.
That's tough.
He wasn't playing well. Anyways,
no, but he had a good game 2 games ago, and then he just basically missed everything the game before he played the Blazers, and then he missed everything again.
Yep, and the Blazers win 119-102, win that I think we're all going to take when that lineup again does it. We talked about this yesterday. The Ant, Sharp, Denny, Donovan lineup has played sparingly together this year. Mm-hmm. They played really damn well again last night.
That 4-man grouping of Ant, 2, Denny, Donovan is in the 99th percentile in difference, the 100th percentile in defensive points allowed per 100, of the 100th percentile in effective field goal percentage allowed. Like, there's some markers there that you go, oh.
Yeah.
Because, again, those four guys have played together for 300 possessions. So, and that's per cleaning the glass, which is a little bit different than minutes. I tend to skew more towards the possessions just because there's more context added that's allowed in that. But you're starting to see it really come together for basically everyone. Ant has the 14-point third quarter, just goes inferno, and the game was basically over at that point in time. He'd scored 12 points in under 4 minutes. Is that good?
That's good.
That's pretty good, right?
That's good.
But after that, I mean, the game was pretty much in hand at that point. Despite the 76ers being up at the half, when you go when you have a 35-point quarter to a 20-point quarter, hell, the 76ers scored 41 second-half points. The Blazers scored 35 in just the third quarter.
Yeah. One thing that is increasingly sticking out is, look, we talked about this yesterday. With Jeremy Grant out of the lineup, Jeremy Grant is having one of the worst seasons of his career. And
since he figured it out, yes, because his first couple years in the league, he played on those process Sixers, and he was not an offensive player.
One of the worst years of his career. They look way more comfortable without him on the floor.
Yes, I would agree.
And at that point,
particularly
how long,
offensively?
Because he takes shots. He gets shots. And that's just the way the NBA is. The vets who have the big contracts, that's the pecking order.
It's not just that. They trust him to create the shot consistently, whether or not it goes in.
They really look better without that. And that, it's becoming more and more apparent. And how long does the knee tendonitis continue for Jeremy Grant is now a question that a lot of Blazer fans are asking, because they do look better
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he was shut down.
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
And at this point in the season,
there's 20 games left. That's it.
You're looking at that group, that core is you have. We talked about this yesterday. Two, Denny, Donovan, those three. Those guys are going to be guys. Then you go, all right, where's Shaedon Sharpe, Scoot Henderson in the long-term future of this organization? You know, how do you look at that? If a majority of those guys are on the floor together, you'll take the wins, losses, or whatever happens. Just like last night, you didn't see the griping because it was the young guys that were carrying that. Now, Anfernee Simons went absolutely bonkers, 34 points. Ridiculously efficient, shooting 50% from the field, but it's the young guys, their development, their growth. That's what you wanted to see through this year. And if you get a blowout win with those guys, you take that.
This is one of my favorite games from Shaedon Sharpe this year. One of my favorite games. Why? Career high in rebounds.
Yeah,
it's something on the Rip City wrap up that I have been hitting for the last 2 weeks. Shaedon Sharpe, I know you can score. What else can you do? Mm-hmm. How else can you use your athleticism? Offensive rebounds, 3 last night, 11 total rebounds, 5 assists, being involved. I mean, he got an offensive rebound, came down flat-footed with Andre Drummond, who's 6'11 and probably 285, 290 pounds, and still has some real juice. And he flat-footed jumped and packed it on his head. And I go, that's it. That's it, dude. That's what everybody wants to see from you.
His run of consistency is continuing.
Yes.
And it is, now you're starting to see things click where even, you know, and it wasn't a thing where he didn't, like, it wasn't awe-inspiring offensive performance. Still really damn good.
I mean, he's 7 of 10 from 2. Like, yeah. That's the thing is, he's 1 of 7 from 3. He hits 2 threes, and all of a sudden, this game's a 26-11-5 game, and you're going, damn.
But make your imprint, make your impact any way you can, and he did. I thought we saw the same thing in a completely different vein from Scoot Henderson, too.
Yes.
Like, Scoot did not shoot well, but he found a way to be productive, as whether it be a facilitator or just... We saw these games before where if Scoot's shot wasn't falling, he was an absolute, utter liability
zero
on the floor.
Yes.
And you're starting to see that is growth, that's progress. Not every game of 82 is going to be a guy shooting the lights out.
No.
That's not the NBA, especially because we highlight this all the time. This team lacks a star, right?
Look, again,
that's
the whole ball-go-in-hoop thing. Scoot was 0 of 4 from 3. He hits a couple threes last night, and he has a very nice night. And that's you can't control the ball going in the hoop night in, night out. Now, the name of the game is consistency. And you want to see that, but some nights you don't have it. And on a back-to-back where you went into overtime against the best team in basketball, and you get in there and you – look, that first half, there were some tired legs. There were some God, we're playing this team. We're on Philadelphia.
They don't want to win.
We're like,
they know they don't want
to
win.
It's game 5 of a 7-game road trip, and we're going to go from here to Boston to OKC, and you're like – you allow yourself to maybe get caught up in a little bit of that. They come out in the third quarter and they handle business. I thought Donovan Clingan got punked in the first half by Andre Drummond, and then he came back out and said, you know what, I'm not going to get punked. Early in the third quarter, he turned and tried to absolutely baptize Andre Drummond.
Whoa.
And it was like, hey, there you go, big fella.
And when he was getting punked, he didn't just pick up a run of fouls.
No, and I think that's part of the reason he got punked, was I think he was playing back a little bit. Like, I am not going to play 11 minutes tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to maybe not be quite as physical right here and put myself in trouble. And on the night, 13 points, 13 rebounds, 3 blocks. You'll take that every single night. Like, I'm sitting here talking about Donovan Clingan getting quote-unquote punked. But he had 13, 13, and 3, where what did Drummond actually finish? Was it 25, 18? Yeah. God, he's still so good on the glass. Yeah.
Well, Tumani Kamara should be noted.
Yes.
Defensive player of the month, Western Conference.
With Evan Mobley in the Eastern Conference, which those are two of probably the, 8 best defenders in the entire NBA. I've got Evan Mobley right now as my number one for
golf
defense
club.
Player of the year.
We'll go golf club.
You know what that is?
Defensive player of the month gets you on usually an all defensive team.
That's that is the league crowning him. That's what that is. He's in the inner circle.
Yeah.
He like that is what that award is. Tumani Kamara is on the short list for all NBA officially. He's been stamped.
Okay.
That's what that is.
All right, we have big news out of the National Football League doing what the Giants couldn't. The Philadelphia Eagles not just win a Super Bowl, they find a way to pay Saquon Barkley. First is Rust with SportsCenter. Philadelphia Eagles fresh off a Super Bowl 59 victory, blowout fashion over the Kansas City Chiefs, have ponied up a two-year, $41.2 million deal to keep Saquon Barkley happy in Philadelphia.
Show me the money.
$36 million of which will be guaranteed. Escalators built into the contract that could give him an additional $15 million if he hits his bonuses. That, my friends, is how you keep your star running back happy. Saquon Barkley becomes the first running back in NFL history to make $20 million per season. Damn.
It's mildly ironic.
Don't you think?
I do. That we were discussing whether or not Saquon Barkley was worth $13 million 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And now he's worth $21 million.
Well, you're worth what somebody's willing to pay you. And at that point, the New York Giants, they didn't have the bandwidth to even give him that $13 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to Philadelphia, where they draft at an insane level. They have made some really tough decisions over the last couple of days with Brandeberry and Slay just yesterday, getting the old heave-ho to clear the deck for the young talent and to keep a star like Saquon Barkley there. I mean, this is what great front offices do when they have a championship window that's open. How much time does Saquon Barkley have? They're basically saying, hey, he's got 3 years left.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to pay him what he deserves over those 3 years. And this is not going to be the last of the tough decisions that they have to make on their roster, because they've got a lot more that they need to continue to clear up to be competitive and to keep their Super Bowl window open. But they drafted so damn well mm-hmm. over the last couple of seasons. They've afforded themselves the ability to give him $21 million.
To go do this. And that, look,
per year.
If you're going to tell Saquon and... Oh, my God. Sorry, I will sneeze there. After everything he went through with the Giants, that, hey, if you come here, we'll take care of you. We actually, you know, appreciate you, and we'll take care of you in the back end. He goes out and he has one of the best and most productive seasons in the history of running backs in the NFL. You win the Super Bowl. And if you didn't take care of that man, that sends a pretty serious message around the league as a franchise. And we saw kind of how the Eagles are viewed.
More of the NFL, though.
I know. But, I mean, we saw how, despite Eagles winning and all the good PR of how Eagles ownership is viewed,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't very favorable.
No, no.
So it's one of those things where you get in there and you tell ownership, quit pinching pennies. You said you're going to take care of the guy. He just had one of the most successful seasons we've ever seen from the position. Take care of the freaking guy.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up and do it. To me, it's pretty simple.
Running backs around the league are rejoicing right now. Because of this big deal for Saquon Barkley, let's pump the brakes on that, because he is the transcendent talent at that position, in that he is the bell cow workhorse back right now in the league. There are only five running backs in the NFL that make $10 million or more.
Short list.
Think of that. Only five that make $10 million or more.
Derrick Henry is not one of them.
He is doubling that. Yeah. He's doubling.
God, who is on the list?
$20.6 million for Saquon. Christian McCaffrey, $19 million.
Mix it on there?
Jonathan Taylor, $14 million. Alvin Kamara, $12.25 million.
I forgot about Kamara getting that deal.
Josh Jacobs, $12 million.
Which he just got with the Packers.
And then the next highest paid is James Conner at $9.5 million. Joe Mixon is ninth, $8.5 million. Derrick Henry is 11th. At $8 million.
Yeah, he took, which is insane to me.
Well, it was very similar to what Saquon Barkley did, which is take less money, go to a contender. If you get to the mountaintop, you get the reward. And the reward for Saquon Barkley is the highest paid running back ever. And you know, like anybody that watched the Eagles this year, that was the biggest difference between last year and this year, right? Where when they hit the skids, when when it gets hard to play football late in the year, and they went on their losing streak last season, they didn't have the ability to run the ball like they did this year. It alleviates all of the pressure off of Jalen Hurts. You still have your weapons on the outside with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, but in Dallas Goedert too.
Yeah.
You also have the ability to run the ball and keep a team honest.
And break his value, big plays.
His value is obviously $20 million, but it's invaluable to the Eagles because of what they can do offensively with him.
Because of how it enables Jalen Hurts and what it does for the wide receivers and how you can use that absolute road grading offensive line. It's just... It's the Voltron, you know, it's everything coming together. It doesn't mean the whole idea of like you can stick any running back behind the line. Yeah, sure, you can, and you can probably be pretty damn successful. But do you want to be pretty damn successful, or do you want to look at maybe going back to another Super Bowl?
Yeah, this is where I'd say all the other running backs, like I saw James Cook with the eye emojis at that deal. There's a lot of running backs that are like, all right, we're finally getting our payday. There's not a lot of Saquon Barkley's running around. He is different.
Yes.
And the guys who are truly different are going to get that payday. We mentioned there's only five that are over $10 million. Okay. The 15th highest paid back in the National Football League. Okay. So we'll go to 16, put you at middle of the road for the starters. What do you think the middle of the road starter in the NFL is making?
Middle of the road starter. Mm-hmm. God. Six?
Five and a half.
Yeah, okay.
Five and a half. Devin Singletary makes $5.5 million in New York. The value of the running back position is not going to skyrocket. It's going to be...
Might tick up.
It is going to tick up. Well, the salary cap is ticking up.
Yeah.
But you're also... The pendulum is swinging back.
To running backs being more valuable.
Look at this year's draft. There's very few of the guys that are built... or of the ilk of Saquon Barkley.
It's Genty and Hampton.
Power running backs. But like even Genty, he's a little tiny little muscle.
Well, he's short. He's not tiny.
Yeah, he's just shoved. He's like a 6'4 guy shoved into a 5'8 person's body. But Saquon Barkley is size, speed,
stride,
explosiveness,
length,
quickness. He has everything.
The backwards hurdle is still one of the most insane things I've seen in an NFL game.
That's going to be a highlight that lives forever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is an all-timer.
It's on the NFL films. Like, you throw it in there. It's like, you know.
It's Barry Sanders going, like, almost
sideways,
parallel to the ground and then catching his feet and, like, firing down the field.
It's Ghost of the Post, which has been in, like, every NFL highlight since, like, what, 1967. It's just, you know, when you have one of those all-time Roger Craig in the corner of the end zone. Like, it'll be in there, like, in the montage that flashes up, and you're going to see Saquon Barkley jumping over a dude backwards, putting his hand on his helmet as he goes over him.
Today has got to be hell for running for Giants fans.
Just salting the wound over and over again.
Not only did he have the season he had, they win the Super Bowl, and then it's like Saquon wanted to get paid.
And they paid him.
That man got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And he got paid a lot of money today.
Meanwhile, their general manager's son had it all right.
He did. He did. They couldn't draft Jaden Daniels.
No, but
should have paid
Saquon and got rid of Daniel Jones.
Yeah, how about that for New York? Mm. You got the Jets owner's kid that's running the franchise into the ground,
and the other Giants owner's kid is actually smart.
Giants GM's kid is like, I got this figured out. Yeah. And he did. And he did.
Brutal.
Big payday for Saquon Barkley. That's a lot of cash, man.
No, it's good for him, man. I loved it. Like, I love running backs. I've always, you know, I'm a running back connoisseur. I love that the running back is becoming a bigger part of the game, not just monetarily, but how they're used. And they're not talking about like using him, abusing him, and discarding him like they're nothing. Like, you're seeing the guys at the very top of the game get paid.
Well, as defensive linemen have gotten smaller, linebackers have gotten smaller and quicker, mm-hmm. you got to be able to counter that. And the way to do it is plow right through them. And the Eagles did that all the way to the Super Bowl this year. Big move for them, but they're going to have some decisions that they got to make. You know, I was reading that they could have upwards of like $60 million in cap space next year.
Good Lord. How many people are coming? I mean, who is importantly coming off?
I don't know. I think it more is their contract structure and the fact that if the cap goes up, not like this year, but if the cap keeps rising, then they're just, they're in a good spot because that's what happens when you draft really freaking
when you draft a starting defense.
Yeah. As of right now, they haven't updated this. As of right now, before this, because of the way that his deal is structured too, it's going to take up a bunch this year and then alleviate some of it next year. They have $46 million for next year.
Good God. How can a Super Bowl contending team have that much projected cap space? That's insane.
But that's only with 41 guys on the roster. But think of those 41 that they already have locked up.
Yeah, it's the guys that matter.
Pretty damn good. It's what happens when you draft well, man. It's what happens when you draft
well. Super useful.
All right, 503-864-6326. That be the Vancouver Ford text line. Hey, we had drawings yesterday. They drawed it right there.
Drawed it.
They drawed it, and then they put it out for us.
Was his name Simon?
Tickle me intrigue. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Portland Diamond Project unveiled the renderings for a stadium on the South Waterfront yesterday. Oh, boy. You want to talk about getting us all excited? There's spring training on the TV. The sun was shining. They were like, yeah, we know what to do. We're going to go ahead and throw this one out. And they got me.
Look, I know everybody's talking about getting Charlie Brown. That is, if you guys haven't seen them, Bill Orme of the Oregonian has them on up on Twitter. If you go up there, he's got an article with all of the drawings. I believe PDX Diamond Projects is now, they have personally released them on social media.
Portland Diamond Project rolled it
all out. Okay, there you go. So they rolled it all out. Okay. They're stunning.
Swing!
Absolutely beyond belief stunning. A 35,000-seat stadium that faces the east, looking out at the river, over the river, at Mount Hood.
Yeah.
Right there in Zidell Park. And it, a retractable glass roof. I mean, it is just, it is unfreaking believable. If they, if that came together, like, here's my belief. They released these drawings. They released this as a, do you want a crown jewel in the Northwest, Major League Baseball? Because you could have it.
Well, this is the thing, is that I understand the people that get that Charlie Brown feeling because they came out hot. Mm-hmm. And like we've had Barrett on, and Barrett has even said that, yeah, maybe we did go out a little bit too hot. But they wanted to generate the buzz that, no, they are here to bring Major League Baseball to Portland. They have faded into the background.
Purposefully.
But they, that does not mean they have not been working towards bringing Major League Baseball to Portland or that they're effort has stopped in any way, shape, or form. They have continued to work towards bringing Major League Baseball to Portland. Things like these let you know, hey, we're still here. We're still doing it. It gets people excited because you look at it and all of a sudden your mind just starts racing of how awesome that would be, right? Where they have, you know, it's wedged right in between the Ross Island Bridge and the Tillicum Crossing where people can take public transit right to the stadium or walk across from the east side. Driving there would not be great.
Oh, they would have to completely redo basically everything around that area.
But think of, like, my mind just goes to everything that could, like, I would love to just go and watch a baseball game in downtown Portland, right on the river, where you're going to be launching bombs into the river, right? And seeing how close that outfield wall is to the Willamette River and just the energy that it would bring to have Major League Baseball here. I get excited for it. And look, the apprehensions, again, y'all can have them, but the people that are so negative about it, why?
Because it's more fun, and or it's not more fun. It's easier to be negative,
yeah,
than to have the hope pulled out from underneath you.
And there's, yeah,
and I'm, right? I mean,
instead
serious,
of like, having something, instead of just being like, hey, that'd be awesome.
That'd be pretty
if they
dope
brought
to
it
have.
Here. That would be incredible for us. It's like never gonna happen. Ah, really? That's what you're going with? They've gotten to a place where they have not just city but state leadership is now starting to be aligned and there's momentum moving forward. If you're looking at, you know, the reporting yesterday that they were down with state leaders t- talking about this stuff, like, I'm here for it, man. I'm here for anybody who's trying to bring something great to the city. Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to support it, not just sit there and spit on it.
Look, there's two things I think you can do to this city that would turn, to be blunt, an economic downturn in the city around. And that's bringing a baseball team and redoing the Moda Quarter, or the Rose Quarter, and reinvigorating the economic part. Like, you can say what you want about Portland, this, that, and the other. The data is the data. Portland is not in a good shape or a good place economically. They're just not.
No.
And they need a reinvigoration.
Yeah, the Albina project is really good for that, with Phil Knight and the $1 billion that he's putting.
$1.4 billion.
Towards revitalizing the Albina district. These things, there are people that do want to help, and I hope that, you know, Major League Baseball does decide to expand.
Yeah.
And baseball does come to Portland.
Look, I don't want
to
take somebody else. I don't want to take somebody else's team.
I'll take the A's from Vegas as long as we get rid of John J. Fisher,
too. And that's, and I, you know, the hullabaloo is that they don't, if the A's were to move here, that they don't want the A's to move here with John J. Fisher. It would be a new ownership group. And that's part of that hang up.
Yeah. A lot of people say, you know, tell us where the money's coming from. Who is the money? Make that announcement and I will believe.
Major League Baseball doesn't want that announcement out there, the same way the NBA doesn't want the announcement out there, because if you go back to the NBA side of this,
I mean, there's only a few people that I would care about it being. I'd be like, ooh, no.
Chris Hansen in the Seattle case, when they were trying to get the Kings out of Sacramento, he's been effectively blacklisted because he was too public and too forward-facing and talking far too much.
Yeah.
Look, it's not a secret. But the ownership group that is behind things in Seattle is the same ownership group and some additional others, of which they don't want it out there, but it's the Kraken group plus others.
Jeff Bezos.
I don't think Bezos is going to buy that team. I think he's going to buy the team on the other coast in Boston. Yes.
From Boston.
And the Las Vegas ownership group is probably going to be Fenway Sports Group. But they were also looking at, well, do we instead buy the Celtics?
I'd want to buy the Celtics.
Celtics are the balls.
And why also, you're the Fenway Sports Group.
They're the balls.
You own the Red Sox. Like, controlling Boston sports would be good for you.
That wouldn't be good for them, though, because the Boston sports fans hate the Fenway Sports Group for what they're doing to the Boston Red Sox.
Being cheap. Yes, but that's also, whoever comes in and buys the Boston Celtics, it doesn't matter if it's Jeff Bezos or not. They're going to be cheap coming up next, because that luxury tax bill is going to hammer them.
Yeah, that's a. They've done a great job.
Oh, they have. They're going to have. Yeah. They're going to have a downturn, though. Like, the economics dictate it. Otherwise, you're going to have a $500 million luxury tax, and you're going to lose draft picks. Like, it's just, it's not great, Bob. But the whole thing of, like, look, if it got closer, like the reality was becoming more certain, you'd hear a name or names.
Yeah.
I am almost positive of that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, renderings, they got me. I loved them. They were sweet. They were awesome. We have a new curse in sports next on The Fan.